Radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla. At 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Right. But you will see, you were wrong. Go ahead, try to hide the sun, but all will see that I'm the one, and I'll rise.
Let us stand all over this place. Everybody say that, come on.
Yes, I'll rise.
I'm gonna rise
again.
I'll rise again. Thank you, Jesus.
Come to take my people back.
Come to take my people back.
Take my people back.
Oh, yes, I am.
Come to take my people back.
Let's thank God for our choir on this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds, a word that will remind us that you are God and God all by yourself. We thank you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. In the book of John, chapter 20, John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. There is a word from the Lord. So happy to see Brother Palmer in the house on this Easter Sunday morning. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk this morning for just a few moments from the subject, Christ, our conqueror. Amen. Christ, our conqueror. Thank you, ushers. Thank God, Jesus is a conqueror. Thank God, the grave could not hold him. Thank God, sin could not defeat him. Thank God, the kingdoms of this world have to bow before him. Thank God, he is a liberator. Thank God, he is a mighty God, a Prince of Peace, an everlasting Father, and he is the King of Kings. Easter, my brothers and sisters, should be a time of thanksgiving in our hearts because Jesus is a conqueror. Because he is a conqueror, we ought to always have hope to live life to its fullest potential. Why, you might ask? Well, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The abundant life is life lived at its fullest potential. The abundant life is not a life that looks at what you don't have. It rather is a life that looks through the lens of what you do have and says, thank you, Lord. Are there any thank you, Lord, folk in here? Come on, you don't have everything you want. You don't have everything your heart probably desires. But when you look at what you do have, amen. And let me help you. Let me help you look at what you do have in light of what some other folk don't have. And I'm here to tell you that you just mean if you can't find it in your heart to say thank you, Lord. The essence of Easter is found in a faith that says, I do believe. Professor N.T. Wright of Oxford University is known as one of the foremost New Testament theologians in the world. He has distinguished himself by his painstaking research that proves the resurrection of Jesus Christ was indeed a bodily resurrection. His proof is convincing as he examines the scriptures. His proof is convincing as he examines the eyewitness testimony of that day. His proof is convincing as he examines the reaction of all those who made the claim that they saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. He eliminates any doubt one may have that the bodily resurrection is real. Y'all, I appreciate his scholarship, but I didn't need Professor Wright to prove to me that Jesus rose from the dead. I, just like Paul, know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that nobody but Jesus could look beyond my faults and see my needs. I'm convinced, like Paul, that nobody but Jesus could have stepped into my life and turned my life around. Nobody but Jesus could have moved a youngster from off of Simpson Street in Leesville, Louisiana, taken him through the highways and byways of life, walked with him through the valleys and transported him to the mountaintops, created a network of colleagues and friends who are great pastors and bishops that bless him through their living, brought him back to his home church. The church of his youth, with the determination in his heart and the strength of faith to preach as best he can with the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. As I was going down my own Damascus Road, Deacon Thompson, Jesus stopped me in my tracks and asked me the question, why are you not living life to its fullest potential? I said, Lord, how can I live that way? And he told me, he said, in order to live the abundant life, to live life to its fullest potential, you must understand what Paul understood, and that is to live is Christ and to die is gain. If you haven't figured it out yet, my brothers and sisters, that the way to have abundant life is to give your life to Jesus, to let him live his life through you, then you are missing the mark. Is there anybody in here who found out that when I give up my way, when I give up my will, when I give up some of the desires that I want to have fulfilled and give my life to God, I can have abundant life? Give him praise in this place. Do you believe? That's the question of the hour. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is a conqueror? Do you believe? Do you believe that by his stripes you are healed? Do you believe? Do you believe that you are worthy of his suffering and sacrifice? Do you believe that he died for your sins? Do you believe that he is the risen Savior and that he is in the world today? That's what Easter is all about. Do you believe? Have you tried it? Have you proved it? Have you touched the hem of his garment? Have you had your blind eyes open? Have you experienced the power of God to work miracles in your life? Amen. See, a lot of you are just living life on the edge because you haven't gotten in the deep water yet to figure out whether or not you really believe, because when you really believe, your walk changes. Is there anybody in here who knows that when you really believe, you walk by faith and not by sight? Come on and testify today. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Have you had the opportunity to have Jesus walk with you? Have you had the opportunity to have Jesus talk with you? Have you had the opportunity, amen, to hear Jesus tell you that you are his own? Amen. That's what Easter is all about. Do you believe? My brothers and sisters, don't get dressed up and cleaned up and smelling good and come to church on this Easter Sunday and then leave not believing the report. Where are the folk in the house who believe the report? Come on and testify. Come on and show that you're a witness. Let somebody know that you believe. This week demonstrates his power. After the events of Palm Sunday, last Sunday we celebrated Palm Sunday. Amen. Y'all know last Sunday they were celebrating. There were folk who laid out their clothes in his pathway. There were folk who cut palm branches and they were waving them and they laid them out in the street. There were some folk who were just there making noise. Amen. They didn't really believe. And so the question I asked you last Sunday is, what kind of commitment is there behind the noise you're making? Y'all need to know everybody making noise ain't got commitment. Everybody, amen, who's making noise ain't sold out for the master. But when you know that you know that you know, when you know that you know that you know that you've been bought, amen, by the blood of the Lamb, when you know that you're saved, amen, then you will believe. Now, don't y'all walk anymore. Y'all cut it right there. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I did what your mama was finna do. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Have you had the opportunity to walk with Jesus? Have you had the opportunity, amen, to talk with him? That's what Easter is all about. Do you believe? Do you believe? Y'all, this week demonstrates after Palm Sunday's celebration. Then on Thursday, there's what we call Maundy Thursday, where Jesus, in a sign of ultimate service, washes the disciples' feet. Then there was Good Friday. While hanging on the cross on Good Friday, amen, even hanging on the cross, he forgives, he saves, and he comforts. And then we don't really talk about what happened on Saturday, but I need to tell you, some stuff happened on Saturday that you ought to know about, because On Saturday, the Bible lets us know that while his body was in the tomb, his spirit went down into hell where Satan was, and he snatched the keys from the devil. He snatched them from the devil. That's good to know, because some people find themselves in deep, dark places and wonder, will God get them out? Oh my, somebody's saying, I'm caught in an addiction and I can't break loose. Somebody's saying, I'm stuck in a pit and I can't get out. Somebody's saying, I'm trapped in a snare and it won't let me go. Somebody's saying, I'm bound by chains and they're difficult to loose. Oh, but it's good to know that Jesus will go to the very depths of darkness and get you out. Is there anybody here who's glad to know that he'll go into hell if it's for his children? He'll go in and break you out. He'll go in and remove the chains that hold you. He'll go in and rebuke the demon that's hounding you. He'll destroy the yoke that's choking you. And then Easter Sunday comes. Oh, I'm so glad. See, some of y'all can't shout right there because you ain't never been in any dark places. Some of y'all can't give a praise right there because you've never been bound by anything. Some of you can't shout right there because you've never, amen, had to fight enemies, and you were there and felt like you were there by yourself. But one day the Lord showed up. Come on, where are my folk who know he'll show? Come here, Shadrach. Come here, Meshach. Come here, Abednego. Even in the fiery furnace, the Lord will come and rescue you. Give him praise in this place. If he brought you out, give him praise. If he picked you up, give him praise. If he turned your life around, give him praise in this place. Jesus shows himself to the disciples. First, he appears to Mary Magdalene. And let me throw this in here for free for those folk who don't believe women ought to tell it. For those folk who believe that women ought to share the gospel. Now, I didn't say nothing about pastoring and all of that. I'm talking about preaching. Amen, amen, amen. If you don't believe that, you need to understand that he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, who first thinks that he's a gardener. Jesus reveals himself, and she recognizes him and calls him Rabboni. And he tells her to go tell the disciples that she has seen the Lord. Come on, sisters in this house. Amen. That ought to let you know that you've got a right. That ought to let you know you've got a responsibility to tell somebody that you've seen the Lord. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I just couldn't keep it. Where are the sisters in the house who've seen the Lord? You've seen him work miracles when your money was this high and your bills were that high, but he showed up and helped you pay your bills. Where are my folk who were trying to raise children by yourself and you didn't know how you were going to make it, but you told the Lord about it and he worked it out? Give him praise in this place. That evening, as his disciples are hiding in a room with the door locked, they are there assembled in fear. He shows up and he says to them, peace be unto you. Y'all, Jesus Christ demonstrates that he's able to conquer fear. He did it before. Those of you who went with us to Mount Olive will remember how he did it before. Amen. They were out there on the stormy sea and the storms were raging. Amen. And Jesus was asleep. And they asked him, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? The storm is about to take us out of here. And Jesus, the old preachers used to say, just wiped the sleep from his eyes and said, peace, be still. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. I'm so happy that he knows how much we can bear. He knows our every weakness. He knows our every sorrow. He knows our trials and tribulations. I'm here to tell you that whatever you're going through, Jesus is able to step into your situation and say, peace be still. Oh my, oh my, oh my.
I don't know Pleasant Hill, but I just want to believe that somebody here knows what I'm talking about. When it seems like the weight of the world is on your shoulders, when it seems like hellhounds are at your door, when it seems that the darts of the wicked one are thrown in your direction, amen, amen, when it looks like you will never win, Jesus steps right into your circumstance, conquers all the forces that are seeking to bring you down with one word. He's able to say peace. Where are my folk who were going through some stuff and you went to sleep at night? Amen. And you had a good sleep. Amen. And do y'all know that there are some folk who come to church just to see how you're handling your problems? There are some folk hoping you'll come in here sad and disturbed and distressed. But when you have learned how to turn it over to the Lord and let him work it out, you understand that you can go to sleep at night and give it to him and he will work it out. You don't comprehend it, but you feel it. You experience the peace that surpasses all understanding. Everybody all around, your family, your friends, even your foes, wonder how you're still able to stand. Why you're not falling apart. But in the midst of your trouble, you find that in your heart you have joy because you are experiencing the peace of God. Anybody here ever experienced the peace of God? Give them a praise right through there. Jesus then reveals himself to Thomas, who was not there when he first appeared. And y'all know, you Bible readers know that Thomas has a doubting spirit. You remember, Thomas was the one that questioned Jesus when Jesus told the disciples, he told them, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. But Thomas heard all of that and asked the question, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? And you Bible readers, remember what the Lord told Thomas. He said, man, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm getting ready to close, but I want to close by telling you that a little skepticism is good. When you ask the probative questions, you know, I grew up and the old folks told us you ought not question God, but I want to tell you that a little skepticism is okay. Amen. You ought to ask the probative questions when you seek answers to life's dilemmas. When you wonder why there's so much evil in the world. I don't know about y'all, but I wonder why there's so much evil in the world. I wonder why, amen, we as a people especially have to go through some of the stuff that we have to go through. I